Welcome to the Six Hats podcast, where I, Dr. Shami, a lifestyle and nutritional medicine family doctor, will talk about how women strive to find balance each day by juggling their six roles, being a woman, mother, daughter, partner, business owner, and professional. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Six Hats podcast. And I'm so excited about this interview. I've been waiting to interview Kelly for months. So we finally got around to it. Kelly's my amazing business partner. We're loving our journey together with Running Mint Clinic in Collingwood. So welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. It's been a long time coming, hasn't it? We kept talking about it and then putting it off and then talking about it and putting it off. So it's nice to actually sit down, and it's given me a really good chance to reflect about what got us here and the journey and what's important to us. And we have, in that reflection, I've been thinking about our shared values in, you know, the patient experience and what we're trying to achieve. So I'm pretty excited.
Amazing. So today we're actually going to dive into medical anxiety. It's something that not many people talk about, but experience almost in silence. I think it's like this silent sort of epidemic of patients not really enjoying the medical journey and having really nowhere else to go until they discover certain places. But Kelly, I would love for you to share what you'd love to share about your journey in the medical system when you developed medical anxiety.
Absolutely. So look, I had a very, very fortunate sort of probably 40 years, first 40 years of my life, whereby I've always been blessed with extremely good health. I've looked after my health, but also it's been quite a blessing. I've never had a filling, for instance. So I'd never had to go to the dentist and have a small procedure like that. And the first time I actually was in hospital was to give birth to my daughter. The first time I'd had a, you know, sort of an anaesthetic when I was 39 years old. So I'd always had this, you know, I was very fortunate and had never really delved into that sort of conditional world. And it really started when I was trying to get pregnant and had a hysteroscopy because they had discovered in the middle of my IVF cycle that I had polyps. The polyps were removed. I was in hospital within a week from my very first anaesthetic. The polyps were removed, and I was called the next day by the obstetrician gynecologist to tell me that the polyp had come back and it was cancerous and I had endometrial cancer. So that was a massive shock. I was, as I said, 39 years old, had always been extremely healthy. And interestingly, the one thing that I had always feared was cancer. So that was an interesting lesson. The things that you fear and the things you think about the most, quite often you can create. So, of course, that was a very difficult and traumatic time, but it was actually made worse by the oncologist that I started seeing for the surgery and then after that. And I saw this oncologist for about 18 months. And in that process, he was extremely negative. He used to tell me that how it was so rare for somebody in my demographic to have endometrial cancer, somebody that was 39. I was very fit and healthy. I didn't fit the mold. There was no family history of it. And that I subsequently found out that testing of the polyp had indicated that there was a marker for a genetic condition, which was quite a brutal, for want of a better word, condition, and it left me with a risk of the return of cancer of about 80%. So I was extremely concerned and frightened. And also during that experience, I was being treated very inappropriately by that specialist in a physical way. The physical examinations were inappropriate. I had an amazing GP who, after about 18 months of trying to deal with me and my terror and fear, put me in touch with a great integrative doctor who I started seeing, and he was able to explain to me that health is something that can end disease and whatnot is often preventable and can be controlled. And a lot of it came to diet, lifestyle, the mind, the way that you think and feel and the emotions and whatnot. So that led me down that route of getting my confidence back. But again, as another aside to that journey, then needed to look at doing genetic counselling and genetic testing. I tried three times to do genetic testing journey. My anxiety was such that with the first attempt, I saw my GP for 3 months prior to that and had to be medicated for the anxiety of trying to go through that process. I went through the first genetic counseling process and it was a disaster. I was very aware of my anxiety and my fear. I was very clear to the, I went through the familial cancer center at one of the major hospitals in Melbourne, it was very clear to them that I didn't want to discuss risk factors. I knew they had to talk about it. They were dabbling into my family. I have an identical twin and the effects on her. And each time I went through that journey, I kept walking out of the counselling sessions. I couldn't actually control the counselling sessions. I wanted to go through that process and have some control of it. Mm. I didn't want to hear certain things. I was happy to do the testing, but I wanted to put my own boundaries into place, and that unfortunately wasn't respected. Long story short, it did take me 13 years. I finally went through that whole process simply because my daughter had become an adult and I was aware of the implications if I did have this genetic condition on her. I went through the whole process and eventually got the results, and the results were such that I didn't have this genetic condition, which was a massive relief. But over that time, I became very aware of this anxiety and my fear of the doctor. I hate going to the doctor, which is quite ironic because I now have a medical clinic with you. Part of that journey also, even though we were work colleagues in a sense, distant work colleagues, I decided I needed a new fantastic integrated GP to look at bone health and whatnot because of the fact that I was menopausal at quite a young age. So I found this amazing integrative doctor called Jeremy Coban, who was able to really support me through my fears. You are just amazing, Shami, and I'm not saying that because I'm on a podcast. You actually completely reframed everything for me. There was no blame. There was no, done this differently, this wouldn't have happened. There was no patient shaming, and you really made me feel very confident about that experience. So that's how I am where I am today.
That's amazing. Oh my God, we've got to dive into that. I'm blown away by your journey, actually. And it's really interesting because I think it's so important we listen to these stories, because it's almost like the doctor-patient are in two different worlds, and the doctor is so unaware of what the patient's feeling sitting in that waiting room, coming in, having that conversation, and the doctor's got their own agenda, the patient's got their own agenda, and it's not meeting in the middle. And you're so right, things have to change, because I hear a similar story so many times. Just even coming into the waiting room creates so much fear because we're fearing the unknown. What do you think was the trigger for the medical anxiety, apart from, you know, the whole experience in the hospital? But is it the unknown, the lack of control, which you mentioned, the lack of boundary setting, the lack of empowerment, I think?
I think it's all of that. I think people generally are afraid of a diagnosis. I'd actually love to look at the statistics of how many people actually die from medical anxiety. Technically, they may have died from cancer or heart disease or complications from their diabetes. But how many have ended up in that position because of their medical anxiety? They don't want to get that lump checked. They are in denial, or they're ignoring symptoms. Or even in my case, you know, you think about endometrial cancer and there's some very common symptoms. I even then kept thinking, oh, this can't be. I Googled it and kept thinking, this can't be that. I'll treat it with herbs. And I actually started to successfully treat my symptoms with herbs insofar as it started to reverse the symptoms. It didn't mean that polyp wasn't there or that polyp hadn't become cancerous, but I was simply wanting to avoid the shock. Mm. And in fact, when I first found out about the cancer, and then when I went to have that first appointment with the oncologist, the bad news would turn the room white. I would actually be unable to see. And I remember at a subsequent appointment when he started talking about further risk factors, I said to him, is this one of those moments where the room goes white?
Wow.
And I don't think he actually picked up on that. And this is, I think, the concern is that a lot of doctors, as you said, have their own agenda. They're to get through the consult and to pick apart the symptoms and look at what's happening. Quite often the patient is trying to get the message across that this is incredibly fearful for me. And you don't want them to run away and not actually get that symptom checked, that lump investigated, or what you want to. So for me, creating that very safe space where from the moment the patient walks in and it doesn't look or feel like a medical clinic, where the staff are very, their approach to the patients is very different. It's a very different experience from the moment that they look at the website to the moment that they walk in the door to the moment they sit with the doctor. they come out, they finish up their paperwork and they leave. It's about the patient feeling as though they've been heard and very empowered, and they've been able to control in some ways their experience.
You've mentioned something really, really important about being empowered. And I'd love to mention that, you know, gone are the days, maybe 20, 30 years ago, where the doctor held a lot of the information. And I have to say this to many of my colleagues, you no longer hold all the information. There's a ton of information out there. You know, people can just Google it or find books or listen to various podcasts. They actually know a lot about their health before stepping into the clinic. And often it is the guidance, what's next? I'm still confused. And that's where the doctor's role is. And that's how I see it now. The doctor's role actually has changed. It has to be collaborative because the patient has so much knowledge about their own health and their own health journey. So when you mentioned about the old style doctor of being quite patriarchal, I know what's best. This is what you have to do. If you don't listen to me, then don't come back to me. And unfortunately, it still exists, that sort of patriarchal attitude, but it doesn't work. And it doesn't work in anyone's favor at all because, you know, the patient walks away really disheartened and still as confused and still searching for answers, to be honest, because there's only so much you can read and then figure out in your own body. It's putting it all together from experience. And that's what integrative doctors do at Mint Clinic. So it's really interesting how that culture is still existing and it's not working. It's actually not, that system's not working anymore. And patients are finding, like what you said, they eventually try and find their own solutions in a way which may not be ideal. Like what you said, you may not get that lump check. You may not actually review your blood results. You may not realize, for example, you know, recently had a patient who came in for something completely different for his kidneys. He wanted some preventative work done. He had a history of cancer and he was seeing his oncologist quite regularly. And they were like, oh, your kidney function's just borderline. Let's keep going. And then one thing struck me. I go, has anyone checked your blood pressure? Now, this is a guy that's very slim. He looks so healthy. He's active. He has no symptoms that he can think of, but he's going through an incredible amount of stress. So he's going through a difficult marriage. He's got a high power job, which he says he loves, and he travels a lot. His blood pressure was so high that I had to send him into hospital because he could have had
from the clinic.
Yeah.
Straight into hospital.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I haven't done that in years. I can't remember the last time I did that. And it was so high. I go, are you okay? Because this kind of blood pressure would have caused a heart attack or a stroke. And eventually, you know, he did go into hospital. And it was really quite sad to sort of listen to him because I go, right, who can I call to let them know to go into hospital? And he said, no one, because he's sort of arguing with his wife. His family don't know why they're arguing. He doesn't want to get them involved. There's no real friends that men talk to when they're going through high stress. So this gentleman was actually in high stress for, I believe, in months and months of high stress. And it's just elevated his blood pressure. And he's been walking around with such high blood pressure. And it's quite scary because anything could have happened. But it just goes to show that kind of, we're actually unaware. And sometimes we've actually got to go deeper and find a healthcare team that you trust and feel safe to be able to have those conversations. And funnily enough, he goes, I thought I would be judged because of his own personal story. He thought I would judge him. I go, I'm not here to do that. I'm here to make sure you're well and have a safe space to actually say you actually need help. You know, even though whatever happened, you know, maybe morally or socially wasn't acceptable, but you still need help. It's not worth dying for at the end of the day. So it was really, just really interesting how it is important not to be judgmental in that person's journey, because he may not actually have come in. That's where the story lies. He may not have actually come in and thought he would be judged for what he did, resulting in marital issues. But, you know, put all of that to the side, his health was at risk.
What percentage of your patients have their intuition is fairly spot on with their health? Do you find a lot of patients may not have been able to ascertain why they don't feel fantastic or why whatever's happening to them is happening, but intuitively they've got a bit of an idea? Do you see a bit of that?
I mean, that's literally why they sort of seek the integrative route, because they've been searching for, to be honest, years and years of searching. Yes, blood results have been told it's normal. I get that story a lot, but we haven't really looked deeper. We haven't really found the root cause. And we've got to look at it holistically. So I often say, you know, the way I read the results are completely different to how someone else does, in even in terms of the ranges, because the range, where do we get the range from? It's from ill people. And all of a sudden that becomes a normal range, but it's not the optimum healthy range. And so you've got to read blood results differently. And then you've got to look at your environment. And as you know, Kelly, I'm always talk about stress and the impact it has. And, you know, we're walking around in high stress, and quick, easy changes to even understanding that stress affects your body can make a massive, massive difference. When we take patients on the journey, they suddenly go, actually, what am I doing? What am I doing this job for? Why am I living the way I'm living? It's not worth it. And it's just phenomenal just to see that transformation where they go, right, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to work less. I'm going to really review the way my life is, because it's not worth the impact it has on my body. So absolutely, they've been on a journey and they're not getting results and they're desperate and they just don't want a pill. And I often say to patients, you know, when you go to a doctor, you know, they've been trained to find a solution in a pill rather than lifestyle nutritional medicine. So that's what you're going to really get. And so when you come down this pathway, you're actually going to look deeper and work holistically. And like what you said, it's actually really empowering when you give the knowledge and education to patients to say, actually, you've got this. Now you know you have got the skills of how do you keep your weight down? And it's all about hormones. How do you look after your energy levels? How do you look after your lifestyle? You've actually got all the skills to stay well. And they feel amazing because it's in their power. And it's so important that happens, because I have no control how you sleep. I have no control when you're going to go to the gym. I'm not the dictator. I'm not meant to be the person, the taskmaster. You're meant to feel the difference when you make the changes, that you feel so great about this positive feedback that you want to do more of it.
It is interesting you bring that up, because the person that immediately comes to mind is our beautiful patient that will remain confidential about her, obviously, but with her cancer journey, and she decided not to follow the traditional route. And that was really interesting, because her intuitively, she felt very strongly about following a non-traditional route. I remember she'd had conversations not only with you, but with myself and with Michelle on reception, and she was telling us about her decisions. And we're all a little bit like, oh, gee, we hope she's doing the right thing. And because, you know, you do at the time, particularly critical times like that, you think, gee, I hope patient's making the best decision for themselves. And she made that decision, and she saw it through by looking at so many factors, including lifestyle. And she was out in the ocean and swimming and connecting with nature and whatnot. And she's had an amazing sort of recovery, hasn't she? And what I loved was the fact that she didn't want to follow the traditional path, and you supported her wholeheartedly, even finding a specialist that would actually also support her decisions, even though it was sort of flying in the face of convention. She's done so well. I was actually blown away by that experience, not only for her, by the way that you supported her. She felt totally heard, and she was very supported through that journey. Luna, our nurse, worked very closely with her and also supported that decision and helped her through that. And she's doing amazingly. So that's a story. That's one instance that I'm still in awe of.
Absolutely. I'd love to mention a few things about that, because absolutely, when she first presented, it was, I've hidden this for an entire year. I'm too scared to go to a doctor. I heard about you, so I'm going to come to you. And when I looked at that, in my mind, I was like, oh my God, this is obvious. This is cancer. You do need to see someone quite urgently, but I've got the right person in mind. But that time I was just creating a relationship and building trust. And she said, please hold on. I just need to hold on. And then so we kept on working towards eventually, she definitely needed surgery, but towards when she was ready, but she was fully aware of all the risks that she was taking, but she had a safe place. You're spot on. She had a safe place to experience that and to be supported. And eventually we got her to the specialist, but she was ready. It was so interesting. There was a tipping point where she goes, yeah, I'm ready now. I'm ready to go to the specialist. And I warned him as well. And so he could fit her in very quickly. And things then sort of changed. But also, he has amazing bedside manners. And like what you said, just listened, supported, and say, look, don't worry, you're going to be fine. And she is fine, which is amazing. It's so important that we can't, if I had approached it differently and say, right, if you didn't go to the specialist this week, don't come and see me. She would have actually gone away. And to be honest with you, probably not, may not have turned up at another doctor, and who knows what would have happened to her. And I actually hear that a lot. When you don't listen to the doctor, they go, don't come back. And I've had a similar situation before, and I go, but who is that helping? That is actually not helping the patient at all. They just need time sometimes to actually process and feel safe and feel go right. I do have the right team around me. And that's the story of just listening to the patient, sure. And that's what, you know, we've created at Mint, Kelly. I'm loving the journey where we both said, right, we've got to change the patient experience. Patients have a right to a different experience where they want to feel empowered. They can get well. They give them the tools to get well, stay well. Yes, obviously things are not always, 100%. We can't predict the future, but you've got a safe place to come back, discuss and support. And so, Kelly, I would love for you to describe like the experience patients can expect when they walk into Mint Clinic and why we're so passionate about just creating a better experience where we can remove medical anxiety.
Look, I've got a very strong background in customer service. I had been a flight attendant for 20 years with Qantas, and customer service was everything. But it was also, we were very much taught about customer service with warmth and connection. So it's been very important to both of us that we choose the right staff. We are very particular about who we employ, not only on reception, but our nursing staff as well. So we choose our staff based on their ability to feel compassion and towards the patients and to provide that very warm, safe environment. And I remember actually when we were planning the business, how, Shami, you were saying you didn't want reception to be busy. So we've worked very hard on, and, you know, which is flies in the face of most businesses, you want your receptionists to be flat out. You don't want them sitting around not doing much. But I remember it was a fantastic idea that we actually direct a lot of our calls to our offsite reception, and they're fantastic offsite reception. You would probably wouldn't even know that you're not dealing with us, but we have offsite reception. So it takes the pressure off the staff. And even when I'm doing training sessions with the staff, it's very much about if you can't get that phone call because the patient is in front of you, the patient always comes first, the phone will always be answered, let it go offsite. It's not unusual for me to walk out of my office and find Michelle deep in conversation with a patient, making cups of tea. Same with the nursing staff. We have a lot of our patients that will connect, will actually particularly ask when they're coming in for their procedure or their test or their IV, they request particular nurses because they start to build up friendship. Shall we talk about that fantastic story about that rather tricky patient that we had that we didn't think he was particularly flexible or happy, and then we put him in the hands of Luna?
Oh, yes. I think we should mention that. Good on Luna.
He was a tricky character. I needed for you and I to go to a big seminar one night that was organised by Luna in this huge hall, and you were presenting that night. I need to turn around and see that patient sitting there with the biggest smile on his face. Luna had managed to rope him into her group of, you know, her social circle, and he was there with his wife, and he was so happy, and he's turned out to be one of our most loyal patients. So that's a testament to the type of people that we have working here. And our doctors, we're very particular about our doctors as well. And that it's, you know, we don't always get everything 100% right, but when we find something that we'd like to work on, we work on it. So
absolutely, absolutely. And from the medical point of view, I think we had this vision of collaboration. And I always hated like going into doctor's clinic where you've got the table and you're sitting next to it. It creates so much stress, where, you know, the doctor's the authority and there's no real collaboration. So that's where we came up with the ideas of round tables. And I just always love it when I'm going through results with patients and we're sitting side by side and we're showing, we're describing, we're educating, and we're having a great conversation. And it's like, right, so what steps do you would like to take next? And that's the future of medicine, where it is collaboration and it's more coaching, because the patient has the power to change. It just needs the guidance. So the whole experience, and I'd love to mention the whole, you know, when you walk in, no TV. I think that's what I mentioned right at the beginning. When we were planning this, we're like, we do not want a TV. We do not want a TV blaring out news and who, what else, we don't know. But it's, you know, when we come in, it's beautiful music, it's conversation, connection, with Michelle.
Essential oils. We have cool aromas.
Absolutely. So the power of music, art, and nature to really calm the nervous system down. And it does work. And there's so much evidence for it. So the whole experience is feeling at ease as soon as you walk in, but having the opportunity to just sit and talk and for us to listen and go deeper and find the root cause in integrative medicine, which is an absolute joy to just support patients on their journey. So we're loving it. How about you, Kelly? I'm absolutely loving this journey.
I'm loving it, but I'm also very excited for the future. I'm proud of what we've achieved, where we've come today. It's interesting that we both of us actually love our little saying that when we fail fast. If something's not working for us, we change it very quickly. We're always trying to innovate and look for new ideas and improve the patient experience, even if it's having to put some plants into the bathroom. So when people go, still feels like they've got that little bit of nature in there and things like that. I'm very excited for where we're going and also the ideas that we're working on. And we have very regular weekly meetings to sort of look at how we can continue to improve and provide what I consider to be an exceptional experience in the medical environment. So it's exciting.
Amazing. Thank you for your time today, Kelly. I love that chat and I hope the listeners enjoyed it.
Thanks again.
Remember that this is general advice only. Please see your healthcare professional for more information. So what's your take-home message today? Remember, it's all about progress and not perfection. And are you suffering from stress? Visit the Usawa Learning Hub on usawa.com.au for more resources on how to de-stress, re-energize, and reclaim your health. Enjoy the journey.